T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All 4 officers who were involved in the death of George Floyd have been criminally charged. And Derek Chauvin, the officer who kept his knee driven into the back of Floyd's neck for almost 9 minutes, now faces enhanced second-degree murder charges. Don Lewis, civil and criminal defense attorney in Minneapolis, he served as a special prosecutor in the case against the police officer charged with killing Philando Castile in Minnesota back in 2016. So, Mr. Lewis, why the increase in charging against Derek Chauvin from third-degree to second-degree murder?
Well, third-degree murder is a charge that does not require proof of intent. It involves usually very reckless conduct that is used indiscriminatorily, and it's somebody who just picks up a gun and fires into a crowd for whatever reason. Someone who uses very deadly force in a depraved mind. So that's a third-degree murder case, kind of recklessness. A second-degree murder case requires intent. So that's someone who actually intends to murder his victim. And then first-degree murder is premeditated murder. So it has both intent and an element of forethought and planning to it.
So elevating the charge here, what do you think goes into that? A lot of people point to just how long the video is, how long his knee is on the neck.
Well, there are a number of things that can be pointed to as proof of intent in this case. First of all, you're right, he is using lethal force, and he's using it in a way that is prohibited by Minneapolis Police Department policy. His knee is on George Floyd's neck for a long period of time, and in fact, force is applied to the neck for a period of almost 3 minutes after Floyd is non-responsive. You will recall that George Floyd was pleading for his life. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. You had bystanders who were telling the police officers that they were, in essence, killing Mr. Floyd. You know, at a couple instances, one of the other police officers, in fact, suggested that they roll over Mr. Floyd to, avoid his getting ill. And all of those factors suggest intent. Those are the things that a prosecutor would argue that show that this officer did indeed intend to kill Mr. Floyd. I should mention one other thing. One thing we don't know, we haven't seen yet, we haven't seen the detailed police reports. And if the police reports indicate that Officer Chauvin lied about the incident, lied about the level of resistance, that could be evidence of intent as well.
Okay, but what does this say about the local law enforcement, prosecutors I'm talking about now, that presumably saw this very same evidence, I presume up to and including any police report, and made the decision to charge with third-degree murder only to now be overruled at a higher level?
Well, it doesn't speak well of the county attorney who did the initial charges. First of all, it's a charge that he's used to. It's low-hanging fruit. So, it's a charge he used in the prior police killing involving Mohammed Noor here in Minneapolis, the Somali police officer who killed the woman from Australia, if you recall that a couple years ago. But you know what's also puzzling is actually, and this is one reason why Keith Ellison is upgrading, a third-degree murder charge is actually legally defective in this case for two reasons. One is that we have a lot of case law decisions in Minnesota that say that you can't charge third-degree murder that where the force is being directed to a specific identified individual. You know from my description a moment ago, I always third-degree murder is indiscriminate and reckless. You know, it's firing a gun into a crowd. It doesn't apply in a situation where you're actually inserting force after against a specific individual. The second reason it's defective is because you cannot charge other people for aiding and abetting third-degree murder because there's no intent element. And so Keith Ellison has to upgrade it to second-degree murder if he wants to charge the other officers.
Ellison on record, of course, saying it is hard, just warning the public, it's hard to convict police officers, even when there's a public outcry over things. I realize this is a question that, you know, you could write a whole book about, but why is it so difficult?
Well, it's very difficult because, number one, the legal standards are such that they weigh very heavily in favor of the police and giving a lot of deference to police conduct and asking any jurors when they're assessing police conduct to view it from the standpoint of a reasonable police officer acting under stressful circumstances. So the law itself is very favorable to police officers. Secondly, jurors go into a jury room already predisposed to find in favor of police officers. So you have that to worry about. Keith Ellison himself has talked about the Walter Scott case in South Carolina. You may remember that about 5 years ago. That was a situation where you had a black man actually fleeing, and he's shot in the back by a police officer. The evidence was just so clear cut against the officer, and yet the jury was hung. They couldn't come to a conviction. So even with the best facts, you cannot consider these slam dunks. You've got to work very hard, compelling evidence. And already we have disputed medical examiner reports. So there's going to be a little bit of room to maneuver to put a little bit of reasonable doubt out there. So these are difficult cases to win.
Okay, now let's very briefly talk about, because there are three other charges now against the three other officers who were also at the scene. Let's talk a little bit about the significance of those charges.
Well, of course, each of those officers assisted in some way in restraining George Floyd. But you're going to have to assess the proof against each one of them. And a critical element of the proof is going to be their intent. And in this case, the defense lawyers will have some room to maneuver because they will say, hey, you know, my guy was just standing there, or hey, my guy was holding his feet down, but he didn't have any knowledge that lethal force was being placed against the neck, or certainly didn't share the intent of Officer Chauvin. So I totally understand why these charges are being brought. They should be brought. But, you know, it's going to make the case a little bit more complicated and a little bit more difficult to convict all four of them.
There was a thought, at least early on, that camera phones were going to change everything, right? Because you could see everything, and everybody's got a camera in their pocket. Any evidence that they have changed things?
You know, in the last 5 to 6 years, we have had a lot of excessive force incidents being filmed, a lot of police shootings of African-American males being captured on iPhones and videotaped in a number of ways. And Philando Castile's killing was videotaped. We have police-worn cameras now. We still have very, very few convictions of police officers using excessive force against African-American males. The one conviction that we had here in Minnesota didn't even involve any video. So just the fact that you have video does not at all guarantee a conviction.
Don Lewis, civil and criminal defense attorney in Minneapolis, served as a special prosecutor in the case against the officer charged with killing Philando Castile.